Well, let's get on to our word, and when we've been looking at Nehemiah, I've been really, in the first couple of weeks, setting a scene for us to actually have a look at where there's things that might be broken in our life, where we need to rebuild, but it also might be just to actually build from nothing, all right? So when we're going through this story of Nehemiah and what's happening and the attitudes that we have to have, that it could be where something is broken in your life, where there's been a breakdown, perhaps you've lost all your confidence, you've lost all your ability to be you, and you know God has to restore something. Or it may be that God's calling you to do something, to build a ministry, to build a family, to... There's a million things, isn't there, that we're called to do, to start a career, whatever it might be, that God has this call on our life that he wants us to meet. He wants us to walk in his goodness. He wants us to see his salvation. And sometimes, honestly, it just seems like everything falls apart. But how do I get back off the floor? And last week I looked at getting started, you know, that we have to actually initiate this thing in our life, that we have to make this decision that we are going to get things happening and what it takes to do that. And I think the base area of that is courage, you know, that we're actually pushing out, we're making sure that we stand up and we don't allow the current situation to determine the future that we're looking for. We talk to God, we ask God to come and help us, we look for people to help us where we need help. We make sure that we walk in a good attitude, that we are going to get going. Because the getting started is really hard sometimes. We all find it hard to start things. It's not that easy to start an exercise program. It hurts. It hurts the first couple of days, for sure, maybe even the first few weeks, where our muscles are not used to it, where we've been trapped in laziness or whatever it might be, if we're being totally lazy and sitting in front of the TV or our screens, and then we're like, I need to do something about this. Let me start exercising. There's pain sometimes in that start, but the results are really worth it. And so that's one of the other things we're looking towards down the road. What is it that I'm really trying to achieve here? Where am I trying to get to? Because we're going to start to plan to do that. Today I wanted to talk about something that is really helpful for all of us, whether we are, and even if we're not in a rebuilding stage in life or in a building stage, but something that is actually really important for us to grab hold of, and it's not really a common thing anymore. Has anyone noticed how easy it is to criticize? I know everyone here probably never criticizes, but it's an easy thing, isn't it? It just rolls off your tongue. We see something wrong, we see, you know, they didn't do it quite the way we thought they should do it, and, you know, we think that it could have this effect or anything like that. We can take something and we've easily got an opinion, and I think especially today it's like a megaphone, criticism, isn't it? I'm not personally on social media, but I know people that are. Perhaps it's you. But often there's this quickness to jump on and criticize anything and everyone, what they're doing, and, you know, they did it wrong, they should have done this, and all this sorts of stuff. And we're going to look at, in the next week, the opposition to you rebuilding or building something in your life. And that's part of it. The attacks that come against you when you're trying to do something useful and valuable to try and rebuild what is being lost in your life. We're going to look at that next week. That's going to be fun. So how we actually deal with the criticisms, the attacks against us when we're trying to make things happen. But this week, I wanted to talk about something called appreciation and thanks. So why am I talking about this week? I'll just read you a few of the verses from chapter 3 of Nehemiah. We don't have this on the wall because actually it's quite boring, really, when you look at it. Like, if you think about all the things, it's got lots of names, it's got lots of people doing stuff. For example, the fish gate was built by the sons of Hassena. They laid the beams, set up its doors, and installed its bolts and bars. Meremoth, son of Uriah and grandson of Hakoz, repaired the next section of wall. Beside him were Meshulam, son of Berechiah and grandson of Meshezabel, and then Zadok, son of Bana. Next were people from Tekoa, though their leaders refused to work with the construction supervisors. Some people that weren't there. The old city gate was repaired by Joiada, son of Paseah, and Meshulam, son of Besadiah. They laid the beams, set up its doors, and installed its bolts and bars. And it keeps going on like that. It's basically a whole chapter just saying this is what these people did. Now, it doesn't specifically say we want to thank you people for doing this, but what it does is highlight that these people were involved in the process of rebuilding. And it gives, like, what they were doing. In one case, as I'll probably mention it a bit later, but there's someone who is highlighted for the way that they worked on the wall. It was like exceedingly well done, whatever they were doing. It actually says with great zeal. So this chapter, and it's like, well, sometimes we just brush over these things, and you know, it's probably the nightmare chapter if you're in a Bible study group that they say, can you read this chapter because it's got 1,000 names, and you're like, oh, I don't know how to pronounce any of those names. But the trick for that is to just be confident. Just say it. No one else knows, right? So just say those names. But it's really interesting to me that there's this whole chapter devoted to just saying, this is what these guys did. And it's sort of highlighted that they did it. It's not the only place in the Bible that we see this sort of stuff happening, in Ezra when they were rebuilding there. And Paul, often in his letters, will write thanks to someone. You know, thank you to this person. He'll recognize people that are at the church, you know, give special greetings to people, say, wow, look at the hard work that they've been doing, whatever it might be. But there's this attitude where Nehemiah's writing this, that there's people involved in it, in the process. And it's really easy for us to get lost in ourselves and lose that appreciation of other people, what they've put into our life, especially when something has gone wrong. That ability we have to focus on ourselves and everything that's gone wrong and almost forget the help, the encouragement, the standing by, the walking with you in that journey that other people have done. Because we're so lost in the thoughts of what has gone wrong that we just forget about everyone else. And this morning, I just want to challenge us about how do we appreciate other people. Are we aware of our own attitude? Like if I said to you this morning when you leave this place, or maybe you've gone to the supermarket or a cafe or a restaurant, when you walk away from that place, what are the things that are in your mind? Was it how that waiter didn't talk to you kindly, and you know, maybe they could have been wearing better clothes? I didn't really like their hair. The food was, you know, it was really good, but this was wrong with it. Or do you walk away with an attitude of appreciation for what people have done? It's sort of like we often look at the pimple on the face rather than the rest of the face. You know, the beautiful skin on the rest of your face is sort of like blocked out by this little pimple, right? And all you're seeing is the pimple. It's not the rest of the face. And I think sometimes we can get that way with our hearts, even towards God. So this morning, as you're rebuilding or building your life, I want you to think about this. The next step that you might need to take is this, to begin to learn how to give thanks well and to develop an attitude of appreciation in your life. Because it is something that not only encourages the person that you might be appreciating, we'll talk about doing that in a minute, but it also encourages you. It's like everyone gets a benefit out of it when people appreciate others. So the first thing that we see in this chapter here is the people were thanked openly. It wasn't a hidden away thing. It was an open, hey, this is what these guys did. How often is it that we hide away our thanks to someone? We're actually really grateful for what they do, but we never say it. Oh yeah, I should have thanked them for this. When we're developing that spirit, I guess, of being appreciative. It's like, make sure that you thank people openly. Don't hide it away. Don't be that person that never thanks anyone, that just sits there and, you know, lets people do things and never thanks them. Number one, thank people openly. Secondly, as I said before, saying thank you encourages everyone. Have you noticed that sometimes when you feel discouraged, if you encourage someone else, it's like God's word is actually true, that you reap what you sow, and then somehow there's this encouragement comes to you? Encouragement is a way that you can begin to build up your own spirit, to be thankful for what is there before you. And when you encourage others, when you are thankful for what has happened in your life, what are you focusing on? The good things. Which is absolutely biblical. When we're told not to be anxious about anything, but instead pray about everything, thank God for what he's done, ask him for what you need, and then the peace comes. In that letter that's in the Bible, it says, and this is what I want you to do, focus on these things. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Focus on these things. Focus on the things that are good. Focus on the things that are right. Focus on the things that are just. Focus on the things that are beautiful. Focus on the things that are holy. But so often our mind will drift off to those other things, and before you know it, the problem becomes bigger than God. And your grievance becomes more important than the blessings that God has given you in your life. When we are developing this appreciation in our life, we have to remember this as well. That it needs to be deeper than just what we see on the surface. What are you really grateful for? Appreciation is not just about what we see on the outside. So, for example, I see someone working really hard. I'm like, man, that's awesome. I really appreciate you. What does that really mean? When we start to develop this way of appreciating people, we start to look beyond that. We start to look deeper than what we see on the surface. But we actually begin to appreciate it. What is it about that person that you're appreciating? What is it about them? What is it about what they've done? What was important that they're doing that you really appreciate? It's so easy sometimes to gloss over these things, and I've often talked about it with people, and I think, honestly, especially in marriage, we can come to this place where we just don't really appreciate. Where's my dinner? We eat the dinner and we're like, thanks. But there's no great heart appreciation for what has gone into that effort and that time. I remember watching, is it The Castle, that movie, the Australian one, and I think it was Ice Cream. I'm fairly sure, but, you know, Dad's sitting down at the table and she gives him some ice cream and he goes, what's this called, love? It's ice cream. It's just ice cream. But then it's like, his heart was like, oh, it's what you do with it. It's what you do with it. That he took what she did by giving him something very plain, very simple, but he began to look a little bit deeper towards the heart of what was behind it. It's what you do with it. What do you think he was really meaning by that? That she scooped it well? That she took it out of that bowl or put it in a nice bowl? No. He was starting to look beyond that in that relational way that you love me. The way you are serving me shows me that you love me. How often is it that we don't really look beyond that? Like, so say you're going out with someone and you're like, you know, most things are, you know, pretty superficial. You know, oh, you look really hot. What does that mean? Is that the best you can do? Like, you look really hot? I mean, that's not even anything that, I mean, maybe you are in control of it. You know, you put the right makeup on, whatever, and hair right, smell good, whatever. Oh, you smell nice. But often we miss what's truly special about a person. If we start to look at the heart of a person, we can begin to appreciate them far more deeply. Hopefully, that is their heart. What is it you like about me? Oh, you're really nice. What does that mean? Are we noticing in people the real things, the things that make them who they are? Is it something like, oh, you're really nice. What do you mean by you're really nice? Well, I noticed that when you spoke to that kid in church that was looking a little bit sad, you really cheered them up. I see that in you all the time. I see the way that you're so kind and build up those people. What is it in the life of people around you, especially husbands and wives, that you really appreciate? Do you draw that out? Do you say, I love this about you? Not just, oh, you're really good, or your food's yummy. If you even say that at all, because sometimes we don't even thank people for what they're doing anyway. But are we looking deeper into the heart of that person? When we're learning to appreciate, we thank them specifically. Thank them, their name. Bring their name up. Now, I know this can sometimes be really hard because, you know, when you're thinking of thanking people, or, you know, say you're in a group setting and there's someone who's done something amazing and you're sitting around your connect group table, but you actually, oh, I just really want to thank that person for what they've done, but, you know, I don't really want to say their name because then everyone else will feel bad and jealous because they're not being thanked and appreciated. Sometimes we forget to thank people specifically because we're so scared that we're going to miss out on someone else. Have you ever noticed that? Let's just bring up those first four points there. So, attitude of appreciation, we thank people openly. Make sure that you actually really thank them. Saying thank you encourages everyone. Appreciation goes deeper. Remember that it's not just what we see on the surface and we thank them specifically. Let's keep going. I guess when we look through that that whole description in this chapter here, we also see that, we'll just look at chapter 3, verse 20. This is the guy building. So I'll read from verse 19, which sounds very familiar because it sounds like the other verses. Next to them, he's the son of Jeshua, the leader of Mizpah, repaired another section of wall from the ascent to the armory near the angle in the wall. Next to him was Barak, son of Zabai, who zealously repaired an additional section from the angle to the door of the house of Eliashib the high priest. He had an attitude, this guy. They repaired that bit, but he did extra. And so he was singled out here. He said, well, this guy, he was very, very zealous in the way he did his stuff. Are there people in your life that you look at and you go, actually, they've gone the extra mile? They've gone beyond what they were asked to do, so they repaired the bits they were meant to, but then this guy, he zealously went on and did further. Remember that people need to be appreciated again for what they do, and we are looking for the heart work, not just the hard work. The heart work, not just the hard work. Interestingly, for my own attitude, I can work hard with a bad heart. I can get the job done with a bad heart. But I can also work really hard with a good heart. And that is one of the things that when we begin to appreciate people, again, I guess it's sort of a little bit similar to what I was saying before about going deeper, but we're looking at the heart. People that have a heart for something that you can see that it's really important to them. Think about the church, for example, when we think about the people that would say things like this, I have a heart for that ministry. What's that saying? It's saying that I am connected beyond just the outward. When we're looking at people's heart, we can appreciate things that maybe not be perfect, all right? I don't know if you've ever had... We'll use this as an example. It could be you. Who knows? But where someone does something for you, like, and usually a kid, because kids aren't always that great in execution. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. They're not always perfect in execution. So You know, they might work really hard to do something. Well, let's give a very specific example. Your kid heads off to daycare, does a painting at daycare, brings it home to you, and you say, "What's that a picture of?" Why are you saying that? Because you have no idea. "Oh, that's me and you and my sister." And you're like, "That's beautiful." Guess what it isn't? It isn't the Sistine Chapel. It's a blob of paint, maybe three blobs of paint on a bit of paper. If they're drawing a person, they usually don't have a body. They've just got a head and legs coming out of it. But you know what's gone into that, right? We are not just thanking perfection in people's life. We are thanking the heart behind what they do. Is that not true? Because when we don't really look at the heart, now I know we do judge outwardly often, but when we look at the heart of people, it changes how we think. All right? You're like, I'm going to pick on the music team. I'm not saying this is them, but people in music team, they're very visible, right? If they make a little mistake, what would it be in your heart? Look at that mistake. That didn't sound that great. Of course we want to do well. And we want to execute everything well. But what's the heart of those people? When they get here on a Thursday evening and practice their songs and get here at 8 o'clock to practice for the service so that they can lead us into worship. What's their heart? And yet so often with our own mind, we begin to pick on people and pick on faults and little things. And yes, of course, we want things to be done well. Of course we do. We want to all grow, but I understand my kid doesn't walk all that well when they're 1 month old. And when they take their first step, that's so amazing. When they sit on the toilet and do a wee, I'm like, "Wow, you're awesome." But we don't do that to big people. We don't do that to big people. Got it? But why are we doing that? Why are we giving them appreciation? Because we want them to grow and develop, and we're saying, "Good on you, well done." And it might seem funny that it's like, "Oh, well, wait a minute, isn't this about me rebuilding something and everyone else should be encouraging me? It's all about me?" No, because it's the heart behind what is happening in your life that can release you from the chains that bind you. When you are bound in this lack of appreciation that no one appreciates, no one cares, it means that you're looking for everyone else to support you, to grow you, to do your job, and you're not willing to get out yourself and do some hard work. And not worry if anyone else cares. Not worry if anyone else approves, but you're going, "You know what, God, I know I need to do something here. And I'm going to please you in what I do. I'm pleasing you, God." That's not to say that we don't want to be appreciated, and we need people around us that can encourage us, right? So that when we are rebuilding, we don't want a group of people around us that are just putting us down all the time. And like I said, we'll be looking at that next week, the attacks that come upon you. But we want to begin to surround ourselves with people that will encourage us. Why? Because we grow. We grow in confidence. We grow in skill. Because we have these people in our life. And we begin to flourish. And we can start to go, "This is possible." And if you see someone else who's trying to rebuild something, it is your duty to get beside them as well to say, "Come on, you can do this." If they have been approached you, as we talked about last week, that we all need people to help, and some people might say, "Can you help me?" Your duty is to stand by them. To make sure that when they're struggling, you say, "Come on, man, I'm with you." When they're doing well, you say, that's awesome, that's a great step, keep it going. My daughter Michaela was great at that, like with boot camp. We used to do that out here at church. But she had this way of just, people felt like they could do better because someone was saying, you got this. Come on, keep going. You got it. She didn't do the work for him. She didn't go and say, you got it, and take the weights off him and pump away. But she said, you got it. Let me encourage you. Let me help you. Yes, the job is yours. This rebuilding is yours. This, you know, this whatever it might be in your life, or the building of something, it's your job. But I'm with you. Thankfulness, gratefulness, encouragement. And what's the best way to motivate yourself to appreciate others? Or the best things that motivate you? Number one, that no one motivates you. No one appreciates you. So you begin to appreciate others. And as I said before, when you do that, it's funny how it starts to encourage you. And the other time is when others are encouraging you. That should encourage you to encourage others, to motivate others, to be grateful for other people, to appreciate other people. As you get that appreciation, pass it on. Don't be the sort of person that just wants to soak it up. It's all for me. Pass it on. Become that person. And while I'm mentioning this last of all, this is first of all, really, in the order of things. Make sure that you appreciate God. I guess it's like any other relationship, we can become bored with God. another sunset. Another beautiful storm. Another bird. Another blessing. I honestly think that people nowadays take so much for granted because of that expectation that it is about me. And it is about that sort of consumer mentality. You provide a service to me. And sometimes I think our mind can even drift that way towards God. You know, this is the deal, God. I'll do this, you do that. It becomes a transactional arrangement. We don't really appreciate God for things sometimes. But when we are developing appreciation in our lives, the number one thing we always have to do is appreciate God. Thank Him for things. What about that last breath you took? Do you realize that if God hadn't made you the way you were and made oxygen go in our lungs and keep us alive, you'd be dead? But every breath you take is from Him. You know, the beautiful, like I said, the sunset. Now, I don't know how to go at the Bindle Beach crowd for clapping the sunset, because it happens every day. But that's because they're clapping the sunset, not the Creator, right? But taking time to just look, to see the beauty of what God has done, not just in creation, but in your life. When was the last time that you actually just appreciated Jesus? Man, I'm so grateful, God. I'm so grateful that you sent Jesus. Was it last Sunday when we did communion? Was it a month ago when you came to church and had communion? Was it during the week that every day you woke up and you're like, man, I cannot believe that you have given me eternal life, God. I cannot believe that you have translated me from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. I cannot believe that as I stand before you, as Matt was reading out this morning, that I am counted as holy and acceptable in your sight. I cannot believe it, God. I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for this blessing in my life. I'm so grateful for your kindness towards me. I am just so grateful, God. Appreciate Him for who He is. Appreciate Him for the people that He's put into your life. Appreciate the things that they do for you. Learn to develop that attitude. because appreciation is something that softens the heart and allows God to work in your life. Okay, let's bring up those ones. Let people know what was important, what you really appreciate. Like I said, don't just say, oh, that was great. What was great? You know, oh, thanks for doing youth ministry. You do a good job. But what about this? I am so grateful that you give up your Friday night for my kid while I go out and have dinner. I cannot believe that you'd be so kind to do that. That is amazing. You see, there's a depth to when we really begin to appreciate people. Let people know what's important, what you really appreciate. Look for the heart work, not just the hard work. Motivate yourself to appreciate others. Like I said, when you're not appreciated, let that motivate you to appreciate someone else. So you're like, oh, no one appreciates me. Hey, wait a minute, I haven't appreciated anyone. What am I talking about? Let me go and do what I want. Do unto others as you want them to do to you. And make sure that you appreciate God. Let your life be fully surrendered to Him in that deep place of worship. I just want to bring up this last verse because I just love it. It's Paul writing about the Philippians. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. I would love that. I would love that if when someone thought of me, they go, oh, thanks God for Neil. That's pretty special. And this is the other part of learning to be or living that appreciative lifestyle is to work out ways that you can do that. How can I appreciate people? Maybe you'll decide, you know, well, this week I'm going to pray for these people on Monday, pray for the missionaries on Tuesday, pray for, you know, my friend who's sick on Wednesday, pray for this person's situation on Thursday, whatever it might be. But begin to create purposeful times in your life. Like this morning, we appreciate Ben's birthday. Yeah. It could be that. It could be the special moments that maybe that's the sort of person that you should be. You're like, well, you know what? I'm actually going to try and appreciate people on their birthday, even if I don't really know them, but just make them feel special that day. Maybe it's that. Whatever it is that you sort of put in your mind, put something there that will provoke you to do that. Provoke you to appreciate someone. What is it? When? How? And who? Share the love. But I really want us to be that sort of person that Paul was in that passage right there, that verse right there, that we start to develop such a mindset that when we think of people, we come to the place where we're like, every time I think of you, I give thanks to God. Isn't that a beautiful way to live? That is just awesome. So as you're doing your rebuilding, as you're building anything, and we know it's true that we just neglect this sometimes. I neglect it sometimes. Probably more than I wish I did. Definitely more than I wish I did. Because there are a lot of people in my life that I really appreciate, and sometimes they don't even feel appreciated because I don't let them know. But if you're going to do that, if you want to build anything strong, you need to be thankful and grateful for the team that's around you, the people that are around you, the people in your life, and develop that sense of appreciation and thanks. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you that, Lord, you have placed people in our life to love us, to care for us, and lift us up. Lord, and sometimes we don't feel that they're there. But Lord, help us to be the type of people that begin to appreciate others, that begin to say thank you, that begin to be grateful for them. But Lord, ultimately, that our hearts are grateful to you for everything that you have done for us. Because Lord, there is no one greater, kinder, or more loving than you. Let us see it. Let us know it. Let us remember you daily. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that you'll forgive us for the times when we've been critical, where we've been spiteful, when we've been angry at others for no good cause, Lord Jesus. Lord, cleanse us. Lord, make us pure yet again, Lord God, that our hearts could see the truth of what you want to tell us. Now, maybe this morning that you've never given your heart to God, you've never given your life to him. Matt talked about in his communion how God actually chose you. He chose everyone, really. But you have to make a decision that, yes, I'm coming to you. Jesus went to the cross for your sin so that you could have a restored relationship with God, because that's what separated you from him. But this morning is just going to give you an opportunity to pray for that gap to be no more, that you can enter into God's presence the way that you should. If that's you this morning, just pray with me and you'll ask God into your heart. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he died for me on the cross. And Lord, today I want to take advantage of that beautiful gift of salvation to restore me in relationship with you. Forgive me in Jesus' name. I thank you that Jesus died on the cross for me. I thank you that he rose again from the dead so that I can live forever with you. Take me today, fill me with your Holy Spirit from this day on. I want to live for you. Amen. So as you're reflecting this morning, just have a little think about your own attitude in life. Is everything a complaint? Is everything a criticism? When you think of people, when you think of events in your life, or have you surrendered yourself to him and begin to appreciate things, appreciate people, and are you thanking them? And perhaps even today you could just think of someone this week that you're like, I should have said this before, but thank you. If you want prayer for anything, please come forward. We'll have the front open for prayer for anyone.